and increasingly more investment being devoted to new facilities. With me to discuss the importance of sport to our physical and mental well-being, in addition to the economic benefits it brings, are Bill McAllister, journalist and vice chairman of the Scottish Association of Sports Councils, Jock Watt, director of leisure services with Ross and Cromarty District Council, Charlie Nicholson, who's a community education officer in Lewis in the Western Isles, Bob Murray, who runs Keep Fit classes for businessmen, and Peter Ferguson, who's an amateur sports enthusiast and gymnastics coach. Well, according to a study commissioned by the Scottish Sports Council, sport and sport-related activity accounts for 3% of Scottish employment. Well, Bill McAllister, how important is sport as a source of employment and generally in the Highlands?
It's probably peripheral as a source of employment, unless you take the tourist-related aspect into it. But in generally, it is increasingly important, because you have to look at sport not just as an activity in itself, but as part of the fabric of individual and community life, and not only being something for the fit, not just for teams of fit, strapping fellows and light-footed nymphs dancing about. I think sport is important for the old, for the inactive, for the elderly, for women, for disabled, for all the categories. So that they can all improve the quality of their life and the quality of their individual health, because I think the role of sport in preventive medicine is now assuming greater proportions. There's a major problem in this country now with young people. We have obesity in young people, the days of the beef burgers and the Game Boy machines being their ultimate exercise, and when the school gates clang that there is no exercise for them. So there is the studies show an increasing problem, particularly in Scotland, particularly since the last teacher strike, where there's less team sport and whatever. There's the effect on the National Health Service in terms of preventive medicine, because the elderly are living longer. Well, I think they'll make up 18% of the population by the end of the century. That's a tremendous drain on the health service. But if we can get the elderly to take up and to exercise themselves to their extent, so the fit elderly will be the big growth part of the population, then that's got great cost savings as far as the taxpayer is concerned, but it also has a major benefits to our communities. And that's particularly relevant in terms of Highland communities, where rural communities often have a large proportion of elderly people.
Jock Watt, you're Director of Leisure Services with Ross and Cromarty. Is it generally accepted or coming to be accepted that sports facilities, participation sport is a good thing?
Oh, yes, I can answer this on behalf of the Fit Elderly Bill. Thanks very much. Yes, it's very important to Ross and Cromarty District Council. It's very much part of the fabric of local government provision. We've provided leisure centres in various parts, and we're trying to spread the number of leisure centres we have, and also we're involved with education happily in providing another two in the Black Isle at Fortrose, and in conjunction with education at Gerloch, and we've already done this in Ullapool with a leisure centre there. So yes, we consider it very important, very much part of the fabric, and very much improving the quality of life in Ross and Cromarty. But it's not just the centres that are important, it's the people who run them, and not only the people who run them, but the people outside centres, like leisure officers, like the thousands of volunteers who help to improve sport in Ross and Cromarty.
Well, certainly leisure services tended to be regarded as something of a Cinderella service. Is that changing, do you think?
I think the thinking behind that is changing. It's very much part of the bricks now. If we're going to have development services, say, bringing people into the area or increasing the number of jobs in the area, you've got to improve facilities there, and you've got to improve what's on hand for their quality of life. And we're thinking not just of sport, but leisure in its widest sense, with the arts, museums, which I think are an important part as well.
Charlie Nicholson, how seriously is sport taken in the Western Isles, in Lewis in particular, which is your area?
Sport is taken very seriously indeed in the Lewis area and in the Western Isles. Basically, there are a lot of groups that are involved in sport-orientated competition and in regards to sports coaching, stuff like that. The people within the Western Isles, and especially the young, participate very well in sport in the islands here. But part part of the problem is that when they leave school and that, they don't carry on their kind of sports initiatives. And part of our role in the Western Isles is to support the development of groups here, be they canoeing groups, athletic groups. And we run a festival both in Euston Barra and in Lewis and Harris for different sports to encourage people to participate in it and to help them to change their own lifestyles.
Is there any reason, do you think, why the older people, or if I can call them that, because they're not all that old, you mentioned people once they leave school, what is it that makes them drop out, as it were, from sport in the Western Isles?
I think part of it is just when they move into jobs and into a new situation that they don't put it high on the priority list to keep themselves fit. And the other aspect, they get involved in new situations. But in regards to that, we're trying through the different groups, especially adult-orientated groups, to encourage people to get back into sport because it's important to their lifestyles and to their health and to their fitness that we encourage adults within our community to participate. And participate is the name of the game. It's not a competitive aspect. It's to get people to participate, enjoy it, and then from there, maybe we can get them trained up and give back to the sport that they're involved with.
Now, Peter Ferguson, you have got involved in sport since you left school, which was a goodly few years ago, I think. How easy is it for you to find facilities?
Facilities in this area for the sports that I'm interested in, I would say, are quite good. As far as running is concerned, obviously Inverness is blessed with an excellent track, and that's no doubt been a great boost to the sport. I can see the difficulty in trying to arrange that the facilities match the demands, because it seems to me that sport, along with a lot of other areas in our life, are subject to fashions and fads. And I'm sure, for instance, a lot of skateboarding pits that local authorities have built that are probably lying unused at the moment. So I think the skill, presumably from the administrator's point of view, is trying to establish a trend and a demand that's going to be more than just a short-lived fad. But as far as I see the way things going in Inverness, now it's difficult for me to talk about the north generally. It seems to be going very well. Other sports, of course, that are now popular just require the fresh air. Mountain biking, cycling, road running generally don't require a lot of facilities. And I think these are people are recognising that fact, and that's why these sports are so popular.
Now, are you participating in all these sports just because you're interested, or do you feel that other people of similar age to yourself could also be doing the same things?
Well, it's, I think, one of the major changes in competitive sport is the fact that age now is no barrier. I'm, believe it or not, classified as a vet now. I know, it's a shock, it's a shock. But it's amazing how competitive veteran athletics is. And I suppose 10 or 20 years ago, the sight of 40 and 50-year-olds putting in competitive times at running or taking part in sports like mountain biking, triathlons, it would have been unheard of and probably unforeseeable. And that's one of the great things about a lot of these sports. Age is no barrier.
Now, Bob Murray, I suppose you're an example of age not being a barrier. How did you first start getting involved in keeping people fit?
Well, I worked at the reformatory in a city called Guelph, and we found that inmates, we had about 1,000 inmates, as long as they were kept busy playing floor hockey, basketball, gymnastics, boxing and so forth, and then outside all summer, we cut down the amount of happenings within the institution. And the Ontario government trained a number of us to go to various institutions, and that's how I first became involved. And then after that, I had the opportunity to go to the University of Waterloo and took all the subjects that were necessary for phys ed and fitness. And, you know, I hear them talking about older fellas. The older fellas were the young ones at one time, and they've kept it going. A lot of people give up, which they shouldn't do. But my class takes everyone, you know, even if we've had heart patients, all this, because we're not afraid of this anymore. We know what we're supposed to be doing. And I think everyone, I mean, playing sport is great. It's a great thing. But if you're fit to play the sport, it makes an awful difference to your game and your well-being, and you'll enjoy sport an awful lot better. This is my thing, is fitness rather than sport, although I've done a lot. And I think it's absolutely necessary.
How easy is it for you to get businessmen in and around Inverness to become fit?
We've gone through an awful lot of people. I won't mention any names. We've quite
some
a number.
Some of us have moved on to greater things.
Yeah. No, we get people talk. They say, you know, I'm going to this class because I like it. It's tough. It's nasty. And this is a challenge. It puts some people off, but most people, it's a challenge. And they come in there and they find that they are not as fit as they thought they were. They may play football and so forth. And I think they should be attending classes somewhere or other. I don't know if the school gyms are used at all, but that's a great opportunity to use the school gyms for all these things, if you could get people to do it, volunteers.
I think the school gyms are overused. They try to get a booking just now. I think
and
that's a difficult thing.
Well, that's a good thing.
So, know. Bill, are you going to volunteer for one of Bob's classes then?
I'll be in my indoor training this evening. Starts again for the new season this evening.
Now, Bill, you're involved with the Sports Council locally and nationally. Some areas aren't as blessed as Inverness with facilities. Are there advantages with being linked with the Sports Council for people trying to get extra facilities?
I think the Scottish Sports Council, it takes more of a national role than it used to, in terms of they don't directly grant local projects anymore unless it can be proved to be of regional value. For instance, with the Inverness Leisure Centre, we're getting £200,000 from the Scottish Sports Council because we're making the main hall that little bit bigger to suit them to enable certain national things to be able to take part in. At local sports council level, local sports councils have got an important role to play. And York there is involved with one of the best ones in the country, far less than the Highlands. Because the trouble with clubs and the trouble with governing bodies of sports is that they only want people who can play it. They want the guys who are already good at what they're involved with, or the folk that already fit, already know the rules, whatever. Yeah. Whereas what we're talking about is participation. We're talking about somebody who fancies being involved in it, whether it's archery, whether it's cricket, whatever it's involved. You fancy being involved in it, but because you're a complete novice, there is no opening for you, but the clubs are only interested in the folk who can already play. And they're not prepared to devote resources towards you. The governing bodies are exactly the same. So sports councils do have a role to play in that. They organise more of the come and try events. They try and educate clubs, and they take part in the campaigns which try to get the information out to people how they can tap into the system, because everybody's still you can come into fitness at your own level, you can come into activity at your own level, and you can enhance your life and just your enjoyment of life. You don't actually, it's not about punishing yourself, it's not necessarily about hurting.
Sorry,
it's not tough and nasty, is it?
Well, you learn something.
It's a girl's class.
There's a lot of heads nodding here, Angus, and mine's nodding along with them. We were delighted this summer in part of our summer activities to bring the elderly, well, let's call them the elderly, 50 plus, along to do outdoor activities and adventure activities like canoeing, hill walking, and even abseiling. And it was very popular, to the extent that there's a tremendous demand to keep that going throughout the year instead of just the summer. So we're determined to do that. But it's good to see it taking place at all ages. But it doesn't always have to be tough and nasty. There's lots of classes with this step aerobics and so on going on to the sound of wonderful beaty music. So there's a lot of that going on as well.
Even pensioners get involved in indoor bowls once a week. Right. It gets them out. It's not heavy stuff, but at least it's the most exercise they'll ever get. But they meet other folk. They have a wee bit of enjoyment. It's a reference point in their week.
Yeah. Even tea dances, if that's a sport.
Well, Charlie Nicholson, football does very well in the Western Isles as the Ness Victory in the Amateur Cup shows. You mentioned one or two other sports. How popular are sports other than football, and how easy is it for people to participate in these?
Over the last few years, we've increased the amount of clubs that are available throughout the Western Isles. And as you mentioned, Angus, football was the major one and is, still is the major one. And we do a lot of concentration through soccer coaching and various type of coaching to improve the level here. But in regards to the other different groups that we've got different groups from canoeing to gymnastics to table tennis to swimming to bowling to squash, and we're looking at the whole range because people tend to take football to be a kind of younger person sport. The way we want to develop here in the Western Isles is the participation level, allow people to come along, and that's why we're concentrating on voluntary groups to run sports festivals, and that's happened over the last number of years, and recently in Euston Barra this year in the new Leinaclete Community School. And from there, that acts as a catalyst to set up groups. If we can get people participating in these coming try days and different days that we put on in regards to sports, then we can get people involved in clubs, in the administration, in the backing up of clubs. And from the Community Education Service point of view, it's our role to try and develop these people by backing them up in various ways, from some finance and from help towards the coaching aspect. So we have a big improvement in the number of sports outside the football in the Western Isles here, right through, as I say.
How easy is it to get coaches, though, to teach these different sports? Because presumably if you have one person doing a lot of sports, then you won't have the tip-top coaching that you need.
Well, we're trying to encourage the national agencies to come over here to do the development of coaching within our local scene, because it's much easier for us to bring someone over here and get more people through different certificates. So we're trying to encourage the people that have the qualification to work with the national body, and they're set up some sort of program here where the people can get the relevant qualification or experience. In that way, we're developing the situation. If I give an example, like the local canoe club, where 5 years ago we only had one TI instructor. Well, since then, we've gone right through the system, and now we've got 8 or 9 people within Lewis and Harris we can contact in relation to canoeing and get people involved in that sport.
Remember, it doesn't have to be tip-top day coaches. You have it somebody with an enthusiasm and some knowledge who can motivate people and get them going. And that's where the sports councils come in, by running coaching courses to get more and more coaches in. At the lower levels for the participation, if once you get up to the high level of gymnastics, perhaps you need to bring the Scottish Amateur Gymnastics Association people and that kind of thing. Yeah, but at the basic level...
It's obviously relates very much to the type of event, whether there's a lot of safety aspects involved. As a gymnastics coach, clearly safety is very important. You're asking very young children to do some very potentially dangerous things, and therefore it's not a question of depending on enthusiastic amateurs, if you like. You have to have properly trained coaches, and that's where the national bodies definitely come in, and the Scottish Sports Council facility down in Largs, for instance, is one that I've been to, a very good facility where you have the national coaches taking you through the skill elements and the safety elements. And without that, skill sports like gymnastics would not progress, or they would progress at some risk to children. And I'm glad to say there's no risk to children if you have properly trained coaches.
Bob, do you have such a thing as a leader's course? I taught gymnastics at YMCA for a long time, but I developed leaders so that they could do some of the things while I overseen the whole thing, the simple things. And these kids were 15, 16, 17 years old.
Yeah. Well, there's various levels of certification now. And in fact, for insurance purposes, you must have achieved and passed quite stringent examinations before you're allowed to be in charge of a club. And then, of course, there's less stringent levels to be achieved by people merely helping under the oversight of a club coach, an IREACH level of club coach, which allows for the use of volunteers. But very quickly, you're wanting to get these volunteers into the coaching training system and to get their certification.
Bob, how do you go about ensuring that the people who come along to you for fitness training, that they don't collapse in a heap the first time out?
They do. And the second, and the third.
They all know their own level. There's very little competition when they first start, because they realise pretty fast that, okay, I can't do all this, it'll take me a while. Usually after the class, I'll come and say, I didn't do very well. And I'll say, yes, you did very well. But, after a period of 3 months, I'll kick your butt. But up until then, find a level for yourself. They always do. I had Ross from the region for a while. He had had a heart attack, and I took him for a period. And he's a great guy now. He's just doing great. But it was a program that was set up by Dr. Dudley White, who was Eisenhower's doctor. And he set it up way back in the 50s. And I developed this program with Ross and other places. And it works. It's just a strengthening of the heart.
Well, what I'm a bit worried in is hearing that there are so many regional council employees undertaking a course that you developed to otherwise occupy idle hands. But that's not we're too far into that being a regional employee myself.
Before we get too deeply into this, Jock, you mentioned the importance of the people providing and running the facilities. Can you expand on that?
I think that is very important. It's all very well having a beautiful building with lovely facilities in it, but if you haven't got a motivated staff and a knowledgeable staff, then it's not worth the candle. But not only that, it's not only the buildings, it's people outside buildings. We have a scheme of leisure officers covering most of our area, if you can cover such a wide area of Ross and Cromarty. But again, not only them. There are thousands, literally thousands of volunteers doing tremendous work throughout Inverness, Ross and Cromarty, all through the north, promoting and coaching sport. And I think they are the salt of the earth, and they're very important. People who look after football fields, people who look after football teams, people who spend their Saturdays and weekends working with youngsters. I think they're important. People are important. As I say, you can have a dead building with nothing happening in it, and that's not worth it.
Do you tend to find that some facilities, there may be brand gleaming new to start off with, that activities in them tend to tail off?
I find they tend to get to a plateau rather than tail off. Yeah. And there's always something new, that whether it's the fad or whatever it is, you jump on that. And then, well, at the moment, step aerobics are the thing, and aeroskip and all these things are coming in. So you latch on to them for the wee while. And there's literally hundreds of people in our centres taking part in these and enjoying it thoroughly and getting tremendous exercise out of it.
Well, Bill, the Inverness Sports Centre is going up, as any visitors to Inverness might be aware. When can we see it open, and what sort of facilities does it offer?